Could be turning to the book of 2 Timothy, and I'll catch up with you in just a moment. I've been preaching a series of messages I've simply entitled The Gifts of God. We've discovered that in James 1:17 that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father, that is the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And that is that every good thing that has come into our life, every good gift, that God is the source of all of those wonderful gifts that have come into our lives. In this series of messages, I've been preaching to you about the gifts of divine supply, that God supplies all of our needs according to His riches in glory. Of course, the material needs that we have, and as well as the emotional needs in our life and the spiritual needs, that God is the one who is the source of our supply when it comes to all of the needs that are met in our life. They are the gifts of divine supply. We've also looked at the gift of God's Son. John 3:16, God loved us so much, He loved the world so much, that He gave His only begotten Son. And we spent some time just talking about the wonderful gift, the gift of God's Son. And then I spent some time just expounding the gifts of real salvation. And that is, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that salvation is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is indeed received as a gift. By grace, through faith, it is the gift of God. And the salvation is like one of those big gifts and has all the gifts on the inside of it. And we've been unpacking that gift and looking at all that God gave us whenever He saved us. And we spent some time the last several services just looking at the gifts of real salvation. And then this past Wednesday night, I spent a little bit of time just talking about the gift of the Spirit. Those of you that were able to be here, we just took a look at what the Bible reveals about that gift that Jesus said that He would give to those who ask Him. He said, listen, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, and that's exactly what we've all been doing over this past week or so, and if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father, will God, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Peter preached about it on the day of Pentecost whenever he told them to repent and to believe the gospel, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we just spent some time talking about the person and work of the Holy Spirit this past Wednesday night. That is the gift that God gave us and what it is the Holy Spirit is doing and who He is. And I hope that if you weren't here, that you will at least take the time to maybe download the message or get a copy of it and just begin to reflect on what God the Holy Spirit, the wonderful gift in your life, what He's doing in your life, and what His purpose is in your life. The gift of the Spirit. And so I want us to spend a little bit of time this morning just thinking about another wonderful gift that God has given us, and that is the gift of Holy Scripture. The gift of Holy Scripture. If you found your place in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we'll focus our time there as well as in a few other verses. But notice with me that the Bible tells us in verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That God has given us something, and what God has given us is the Scripture. And the process through which God has given us this wonderful gift is referred to here with the word inspiration. Inspiration. The word inspiration is a word that literally, the meaning of the word literally means God's breath or God breathed. And what it means is this: the divine breath is the means by which God has given us this wonderful gift, which we should understand this way, that is the divine breath, God breathing, as the Spirit of God operating in such a way that the men of God who wrote the books that are in the Word of God were actually writing the Word of God. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 21 about the working of the Spirit in giving us the Word. Here's what the Bible says. It says, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, there's the divine activity, the activity of the divine breath or the divine Spirit in the giving of the prophecy, and that includes the prophecy that has been recorded for us in written form, that is the Word of God. That is, Scripture is divinely inspired. Now listen to me, that doesn't mean that the Scripture is just inspiring, that is, as to the effects of Scripture, but it means that the Scripture, its source, is divinely inspired. That is, it came from God, it belongs to God, is revealed by God, it is indeed divinely inspired. That is, the source of the Scripture is the divine breath or the Holy Spirit. Without the working of the Spirit of God, we would not have have the Word of God, we would not have the Scriptures that we have. You should understand the Bible as not being like any other book. There are many other religions that have books that they call their holy books and many different kinds of books. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is divinely inspired in that its source is the Spirit of God operating through the men of God, so that what they wrote is indeed the Word of God given to us as a gift from God. Jesus spoke about this work of the Spirit in John's Gospel. In John chapter number 14, here's what Jesus said would happen when the Spirit of God came after He died and was resurrected and ascended back to heaven. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." Jesus said to the disciples, the Holy Spirit is going to call back to mind all the things that I've taught you, and I'm glad that He did, and the reason why is because we have the Gospels. Not only that, but over in John chapter number 16, the Bible says in verse number 13, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." He'll reveal truth to you, and He has, and that's the reason why that we have the New Testament letters that we had. He goes on, He says in verse number 13, "To whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." He'll reveal to you what's going to happen in the future, and that's the reason why that we have the book of Revelation and the other prophetic passages as well. What I'm trying to get you to see is that this book, that is the Holy Scripture, is divinely inspired. God gave us this book, and He did it through His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, operating upon and in the lives of the men who wrote these books, so that they were actually writing the Word of God. Listen, this gift from God is a gift that you received. It is a gift from Him. Some of you may have received one of these Bible at Christmas time. I looked at a few Bibles Wednesday night, and I've seen a few of them today that were given as Christmas gifts. How many of you got a Bible this year for Christmas? Yeah, there are several of you who did. And I would dare say that probably just about everybody, most everybody here anyway, at some Christmas has received a Bible at Christmas time. And I tell you that, listen, that gift that you received at Christmas time is one of the greatest gifts that you have ever received. And the reason why is because it wasn't just from Mom, it wasn't just from Dad, it wasn't just from the wife or the husband or whoever it was that gave it to you, the Sunday school teacher. But I tell you that this gift is from God's Scripture. Holy Scripture is God's gift to us, given to us, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, divinely preserved by God down through these years, so that you and I have the very Word of God right here, right now, most of you in your lap. Right now, you have the very Word of God, and what a wonderful gift it is. It is this gift from God that we're focused on right here at Eastern Gate. That is, our services center around this book. We try to sing songs that reflect the truth of this book. We gather around in Bible studies and preaching service so we can open up this book and look at it, because we recognize that this Word is divinely inspired. It is given by inspiration of God. It is God's gift to us. It's not just another book. It is indeed God's Word to us. And it is this gift from God that we need to start using. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Well, when you get a Christmas gift and you get that thing out and you start looking at it, you probably had a few days now, and maybe some of you had a full week now, and you've been looking that gift over, and you've been trying to figure out how to use it. Maybe you got one of those gifts that you have to put together, and you looked at it for a while, and you turned it every which way, and finally you got the directions out, and you finally figured out how to put it together, and you figured out how to use it, how to run it, how to apply it. Maybe you got some clothing, and you finally tried it on and you looked at it, and now maybe you're wearing that article of clothing, possibly even today. You and I need to start using the gift. And the gift that I'm talking about now is the great gift that you and I have received, this Bible. You see, when God gave you this gift, He didn't give you that gift just so you could lay it off over to the side somewhere, but God wants you to use that gift. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" I'm talking about reading your Bible to find out what it says. You say, "I wish I knew more about what the Bible says." There's a simple remedy. You just need to start reading it. And when you read it, you'll find out what it says. You say, "Well, I wish that I could understand more about what it means." There's a simple remedy to that as well. You see, when we read the Bible, we find out what it says. But when we study the Bible, we find out what it means. We need to read the Bible to find out what it says. We need to study the Bible to find out what it means. We need to meditate on the Bible. That is, we need to be thinking about it. We need to get it on the inside of our hearts and our minds and meditate on the Word. The Bible commands us to do so. We need to apply the Bible Bible so we can see how it works. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to hear this book so that you and I can understand what it means, so we can put it together in a systematic way, listening to those who are gifted to take this Bible and teach it to us. Your whole life and my whole life should be centered around this book. Some of you here and you say, well, Pastor, I know that, you know, your life is all about the Bible because, I mean, after all, you're a preacher and that's what preachers do. They take the Bible and they teach it. But I'm going to say to you that your life ought to be centered around this book as well. It ought to be central in your life. You ought to be reading it. You ought to be studying it. Listen, those of you that are gifted to do so, you ought to be teaching it. You ought to be hearing it. You ought to be, listen, the Word of God ought to be central in your life. And I'm going to give you some reasons why. And that is one of the reasons why that the Word of God ought to be central in your life is because of the power that it contains. The power that it contains. I want you to think with me for a few moments right here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 about the power of the Word of God as it operates in the lives of individuals. The Bible says in verse number 14 of 2 Timothy 3, Paul was writing to Timothy. And 2 Timothy is his last letter to Timothy. It's his last recorded letter before he's going to be executed. And he's writing to Timothy and he tells him in verse number 14, to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. From the time that Timothy was a child, he had been taught the Scriptures. That is, by his mother and grandmother that are mentioned in chapter 1 of this book and verse number 5. And he had been taught the Word of God since the time that he was just a little guy. And we find that according to chapter 2 and verse 2, apparently the Apostle Paul, whenever Timothy was a young man, also came to his hometown and was preaching the Word of God, and Timothy's mother and grandmother believed the gospel, and apparently Timothy did as well. Do you know that the Word of God that Timothy was taught did a powerful work in his life? God did a powerful work in the life of this young man named Timothy, and the reason why is because he had been taught the Word of God, because he had learned the Word of God, because he had heard the Word of God. God did a wonderful work in his life. The Bible says here that the word that he had heard made him wise unto salvation. That is, the salvation that is received by faith in Jesus Christ. And that is that the gospel, the word that he heard, worked in his life and brought him to the point as a young man of receiving or believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that sinners are brought to the point of receiving Jesus Christ because of the ministry of the Word of God? Yeah, the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Listen, there's something powerful about this book. You say, what is it? Listen, it can change somebody from the inside out. Listen, it can change the direction you're headed in. That is, one day you're on your way to hell and all of a sudden now the Word of God that you've heard has done an operation in you and brought you to Christ and you're on your way to heaven. Nobody else can do that in your life. Nobody can turn you from the road to hell to the road to heaven except this book. The power of the Word of God. Over in 1 Peter chapter number 1, as Peter was writing about the Scripture, he said that the Word of God is like seed. That is, like seed that is planted that brings about a birth. He's comparing the Word of God to the seed of a man implanted in the womb of a woman. And after a little while, there's going to be new life. And he said the Word of God is like that. Here's what it says in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Did you know that whenever God saved you, when He birthed you into His family and you became a brand new creature in Christ, when God saved you, it was because of this book? That is, somewhere along the line you started hearing the Word, didn't you? I remember when I started hearing the Word, it was in Sunday school as a little child. Listen, all of you that have ministries to children, that is, to be able to teach them in Sunday school or in children's church or in their Awana ministries, I'm going to say to you that the ministry that you have available to you that you're involved in is one of the most important aspects of your life. It's one of the greatest things that you could do is be able to take little children and plant the Word of God like seed in their hearts. And the reason why is because of the power of the Word of God that operates in the lives of those children, revealing to them Christ and what He wants to do in their life. Listen, it's that very Word planted in their hearts like seed that can bring them to the point of new life. That is, of being born a second time, of experiencing the spiritual birth. When God saved us, He did a powerful work in our life that made us brand new creatures in Christ. And I mean, from hell to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, and He did it through this book. There's no greater power on earth than that. Than the transformation of the inner man, the new birth, the new life, passing out of spiritual death into spiritual life. And the Bible says that the seed that brings about that new life is indeed this Word. That is, it is the Word of God that is preached and taught, and God uses it in a powerful way. That's the reason why that you ought to be reading the Word. That's why you ought to be studying the Word. That's why you ought to be meditating and applying the Word of God. That's why you ought to be hearing the Word and teaching the Word. The reason why is because of the power that it contains. It has the power to change people's lives. This book. Are y'all still with me? Let me give you another reason. Not only is there the power that it contains, but there also is the permanence that it has. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, right here in 1 Peter chapter 1, if you're still there, just listen to what the Bible tells us here about the Scriptures. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. And listen to the next phrase, which liveth and abideth forever. He says in verse 24 that all flesh is as grass. That is, our bodies are like the grass in this way. And the glory of the man is the flower of grass, because the grass withers and the flower thereof falleth away. And that is that the seed of man, the literal seed of man that produces birth, that is you and I, when we were born into the world, it's because of our daddy and our mother. But I tell you that this old flesh that I was born with is like the grass. And that is, it's going to wither and it is going to die. But I tell you that what the Spirit of God produces through the Word of God is eternal. Look at what it says in verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And so we find that while everything else in life is temporary, the word is eternal. What I mean by that is this, is that my life is temporary. My wife is temporary. My car is temporary. Hey, my house is temporary. Listen to me now. Everything that you and I have is temporary. You know, the new clothes you got for Christmas, one of these days they'll be old rags. Amen. I mean, everything is just temporary around us. Nothing is going to last forever. As a matter of fact, sometimes we say that, hey, nothing lasts forever. But I tell you, you've got something that will last forever, and that is the Word of God. Now, that copy of the Bible that you have may not be the one that will last forever. It may wear out and fall apart. But I tell you, this book, the Word of God, will endure forever. And listen to me, that's the reason why that you and I, our lives need to be wrapped around this book. That's the reason why this is the greatest gift that you've ever received, and that is this book, because it is permanent. It will last forever. God's truth will never pass away. Are y'all still with me? Hey guys, one of these days you're going to have to quit your job. You're going to have to retire. Amen. I know you're already tired, but you're going to have to retire. And you're just not going to be able to do it forever. And one of these days that job is going to be over. But this book will last forever. I want my life not to just be wrapped around a job, but around this book, so that whenever we go to our jobs, we go there with this book on our mind and in our hearts, and we enter into a mission field when we go to work. One of these days your house is going to fall down. You say, Pastor, not my house. Built that baby myself. It's never, listen, one of these days our house is going to fall down, burn down, termite eat it down, whatever it might be, but it's not going to last forever. But this book will. Wouldn't you want to invest your time, at least as much time in the Word as you would in your house? I mean, something that is eternal. What I'm just trying to get you to see is what a gift we have in the Word of God. The reason why is not only because of the power that it contains, that is, had the power to change Timothy's life, but also because of the permanence that it has. It will endure forever, but also because of the progress that it produces. Look right here in 1 Peter chapter number 2 now. If you just move down from where we're at to chapter 2 and verse 2, there's that wonderful verse that I love and I refer to sometimes where the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. In other words, back in chapter 1 that we looked at, we discovered that the word is compared to the seed of a man that results in a birth. But here we find in chapter 2, it's compared to the milk of a mother that results in growth. And that is that after you've been born again, I'm so glad that I've got a milk, don't you? I've got some milk so that I can be able to grow. And that milk is this book. It is the Word of God that will help me to grow. Folks, just like milk is essential for a baby to progress in growth, the Word of God is essential for progress in the Christian life. If you're going to grow and be what God wants you to be, it's going to be because of the ministry of this book. That's the reason why you ought to read the book. That's the reason why you ought to study it. That's the reason why you ought to meditate on it. That's why you ought to apply it to your life. Listen, that's the reason why that you ought to teach it. That's why you ought to hear it. And the reason why is because this book is what will move you forward. Listen to me now. You say, Pastor, I'd like to be more into the Word. Listen, why don't you just start studying this book? Some of you here, and listen, why don't you just get serious about teaching this book? That is, maybe you need to get involved in teaching kids or maybe teaching adults the Word of God. You'll grow more by having to teach this book than you will by hearing this book. You got to dig into it then, don't you? You got to study it. You got to spend some time in it. And you'll grow. God will grow you. Listen, a little baby that never receives any milk is not going to grow. And a child of God who doesn't spend time in the Word, you will not grow. You won't grow. And that's why this gift from God is so special to us. It is our source of nourishment. That is, it's our source of growth spiritually so that we can become everything that God has saved us to be. Say, Pastor, I really want to grow in the Lord and be what God wants you to be, want me to be, but I just don't know how to do it. You've got the gift right in front of you. It's the Bible, the Holy Scripture, given to us by divine inspiration. It's not like another book. You say, Pastor, I don't quite understand this book. If you get to walking with God, if you get to listening when you're in church, you know what I'm talking about? I mean paying attention. When I say paying attention, I mean instead of thinking about what you're going to be eating when you get out of church, be thinking about what you're hearing while you're there. Y'all still with me? If you'll start paying attention, if you'll start getting into the Word yourself, if you'll prepare your heart beforehand, you'll be able to grow in the Word, and God will produce in you spiritual growth through this book. And you've got a great gift, and that is the Word of God. The reason why it's such a great gift is because of the power that it contains. It has the power to change life. Nothing else does, but this book does. It can change lives. Listen to me now. This book can do something that the politicians cannot. They might promise to change things, but it's only this book that really changes things. It's the power of the Word of God. Because of the power that it contains, because of the permanence that it has. Ladies and gentlemen, this book is going to endure forever. And then because of the progress that it produces, like a little baby that's taking milk and growing, even so, those who are in the Word, you will be able to grow because of the effect of the Word of God in your life. It will produce spiritual growth in your life. Now listen to me. Now you say, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm growing very much. I remember whenever I was growing up, which I didn't spend much time at it, but whenever I was growing up, I remember whenever we used to mark the little doorway. Y'all ever do that? When you was growing up, we put the little marks on the doorway, and maybe we'd mark, you know, with our age or whatever it was, you know, and you would move up a little bit, and some of you moved up quite a bit, but others of us just, you know, we moved up a little bit, and you don't know when you're growing. I mean, in other words, you don't, most of the time, at least I didn't, but some of you, you felt it. I mean, you grew and your joints hurt and those kinds of things. I never had that problem, but nevertheless, you don't always feel when you're growing. You don't get up in the morning and say, man, I grew last night, right? But when you back up and you start measuring yourself, and then you realize, hey, I did grow a little bit, especially those of you that are young and are still growing. The rest of us, you know, we measured in other ways, but nevertheless, we measure our growth. And when you're growing spiritually, you don't always say, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm growing. Well, you don't always feel growth. But I'll guarantee you that if you'll get in this book, and if you'll stay in it, if you'll do what Paul told Timothy to do, if you'll continue in this book, you will grow. And one of these days, a difficult time will come in your life. A struggle will come. A trial will come. A challenge will come. Maybe the challenge to take this book and share it with somebody or witness to somebody or teach it to a class. And I tell you that you'll realize then how much you have been growing, because you'll have something to share. You'll have something to say. That's right. What a wonderful gift for parents to be able to sit down and speak to their kids and share with them, because they've been in the Word. For teachers to have something to say, because we've been in the Word. You'll be able to grow if you'll get into this book. Let me mention another thing. This book is a great gift to us because of the path that it lights. Remember that verse over in the Psalms, in Psalm 119? Some of you remember this, maybe from Bible school or from when you were growing up. Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? Yeah. So, Pastor, I need some direction. I got decisions to make, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what path to take, what direction to go in. I don't know which way to go. And how am I going to be able to make those decisions? Well, that's the reason why this book, the Word of God, is so important to all of our lives. And the reason why is because it gives us enough light to know what direction to go in. Listen to me now. If you ever hang around here at the church like I do sometimes, and you're walking around sometimes at nighttime in the dark, and you're trying to feel your way around the building in the dark. Now we got these cell phones that have these lights on them, and that's a wonderful blessing. But if you're ever walking around in the dark, you'll know how hard it is to know which direction to go, whether to walk this way or to walk that way. Did we leave the tables up there or the chairs over there? Am I going to trip over something? And you walk very gingerly when you're walking in the dark. But when you pull out your little phone and you turn that little light on, for those of you that have it, then you can just walk, you know, exactly what direction to go in. And you know, when you and I are journeying through life, as we're journeying through life, we've got decisions to make, and we've got directions we have to make decisions about. And you say, Pastor, I don't know what to do, which direction to go. I just don't know. But listen to me now. If you get into the Word of God and listen to the Word of God, God will give you enough light to know exactly what you need to do and the direction that you need to go in and the decision that you need to make. And that's the reason why when you're hearing the Word, if you'll pay attention to what God is teaching, you say, but God in the Bible doesn't directly address what I'm dealing with. But I tell you, there's never a problem or decision we've ever made that God has not given us principles, at least to guide us in the decisions that we'll make, if we'll pay attention to this book. He'll light your path. You'll know where to go, what direction to go in. That's why this gift is so important. It's important because of the power that it contains, the power to change lives for all eternity. The permanence that it has, it'll endure forever. The progress that it produces, if you'll get into the Word, you'll grow like a baby on milk. Listen, because of the path that it lights, this Word will give you the direction to be able to know which direction to go in and what decisions to make. Not only that, but because of the purity that it causes. There's another verse in Psalm 119, a verse number 9 that I love, and it says this, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can a person clean up their life? Well, the answer is in the verse, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Did you know that if you'll get into the Word and allow the Word of God to get into your life, do you know that it'll do a work of cleansing in your life, a work of purifying in your life? God will clean you up if you'll get into this book. I tell you what happens when you get into this book. All of a sudden, you become aware of those areas of your life that need to change and areas you need to grow in and things you need to repent of when you get into this book. If you listen real closely to what's being said when you're hearing the Word, if you'll listen to what the Spirit of God is revealing to you as the Word of God is being spoken, God will reveal to you exactly what the problem is and what the answer is. This book will clean you up. It will purify you. It'll purify you. The purity that it causes. Notice with me in 2 Timothy, if you want to get back over there, notice with me the profit that it provides. You say, Pastor, if there's one thing that I want in the year 2017, I want to be profitable. I want to make a profit, but I'm going to tell you that God has given you a gift in which you can experience great profit. Look at what it says, verse 16 again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Notice the next phrase, and is profitable. There it is. The Word of God that God has given to us by divine inspiration, this book, the Word, the Scripture, is profitable. And it's profitable there in four different areas. First of all, it is profitable for doctrine. Listen, if you want to experience a real profit, the Word is the key. The word profitable means that it will benefit you, it will help you, listen, it will profit you, particularly in the area of doctrine. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? It means so that you'll know what is right to believe. The idea is this, say, Pastor, how do you know who's right? How do you know what is right? I mean, listen, in the age in which we live, in the society that we live in, there are so many different kinds of teaching around us. How do you know what is right? And how can you, some have said to me, you sound real bigoted. You act like that you believe that everything you say and everything you preach is right. Well, sure I do. But not because I said it. The only reason why that it would be right is because it's what this book says. You see, the way that you and I can tell what is right to believe is because of this book. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, Timothy, if you'll stay with the word that you've been taught from a child and that brought you to the point of salvation, if you'll stay with that word, you will profit. And the area in which you'll profit is in the area of doctrine. You'll know what is right and wrong. You'll know what to believe, and you'll also know what to teach. The idea of doctrine here is not only what we believe, but also what we teach, so that we'll know that what we are teaching is the right thing. Parents, listen to me. Don't you want for your kids to be able to be taught the right thing? I mean, the truth as opposed to that which is not true. The only way that you'll be able to do that is with this book. It's profitable for doctrine. It's also profitable for reproof. That little word reproof there in verse number 16 is a word that refers to the idea of exposing sin so that we can repent. That is, this book not only reveals to us what we ought to believe, but it also reveals to us those areas of our life where we haven't believed right and we haven't done right. It exposes sin and error. Now listen, if you're wrong, wouldn't you want to know it? Oh, maybe you shouldn't answer that question. You know what I found out about folks? There's a lot of times we don't want to know when we're wrong. Oh, yeah. You say, Pastor, that's just not true about me. But I wonder what's going to happen the next time your spouse or your child or somebody else in your life says, you're wrong. I have a feeling you're going to see the rebellion in your heart like it is in all of our hearts. We don't want to know when we're wrong. But do you know that if you'll get into the Word of God and you allow the Word of God to get into you, the Word of God will indeed do that work called reproof in you. It'll reveal to you what is wrong in you. That is, those areas of our life where we've sinned, those areas of our life and our attitudes that are wrong. This book will reprove us. It will expose the sin and the error in our life. Aren't you glad you got this book? Because we really do need to realize when we're wrong. The Bible tells us not only is this book profitable in the area, listen, by the way, you'll profit a lot better if you'll allow God to reveal to you where you're wrong. You'll do better. So it's profitable in the area of doctrine so you can believe right. It's profitable in the area of reproof so that you can see those errors, those things that are wrong. But it's also profitable, according to verse number 16, in the area of correction. And the idea of correction is the literal meaning of the word is to set again, like a broken bone is set back into place. If something is broken and out of line, it needs to be put back into place. It needs to be corrected. And do you know the Bible does that? You see, the Bible not only reveals to us where something broken on the inside of us, but it reveals to us how to straighten it out. That is, how to correct it. And if it's sin in our life, the Bible reveals to us what to do with sin. And that is, we need to confess it to God and God will forgive us. We need to repent of it and forsake it. The Bible reveals to us how to correct relationships. The Bible reveals to us how to take that which is broken and line it back up. That is, it is profitable for correction. Listen, don't you want to get those situations straightened out? Listen, those areas of your life where you're battling and struggling and your nose not right, don't you want to get it right again? I mean, those areas of your life where you're broken, and we all have them, don't you want those things to get straightened out again? Well, this book can do that. That's why it's such a great gift to us. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction. And then the Bible says, for instruction in righteousness. For instruction in righteousness. In other words, the Word of God teaches us not only what's wrong and how to correct it, but how to live out the righteousness that we received whenever we received Christ as Lord of our life. How to live out this new life, this righteousness that we have in Him. How to do what is right. To do what's right. Now, I know it's not real popular today to believe that there's right and there's wrong, that there's black and white. I know that there are gray issues, but there's not near as much gray as what we try to attribute in our society. There are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. And the way that you and I know how to do what is right is because of what this book says. It reveals to us, it instructs us in the area of righteousness, how to live out what God says is right. Now I'm going to remind you that if God says something is right, guess what it is? You're right. If God says something is not right, guess what it is? It's not right, it's wrong. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. If God says in this book something is right, it's right. If God says something is wrong, it is wrong. The only way you and I can know righteousness is because of this book. That's why it's so important to us. That's why this book is so important to us. There are a lot of people that are doing what's wrong and don't even know it. You say, well, why don't they know it? Because they don't know anything about this book. And that's why you and I are so blessed to have such a wonderful gift as a copy of the Bible, the teaching of the Bible, the preaching of the Bible, because God has gifted us with this wonderful book, the Holy Scripture. Notice the last point. And that is, the Bible is so important to us and such a wonderful gift to us because of the perfection that it develops. Look at verse number 17 here in 2 Timothy 3, and then I'll be finished. The Bible says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen to me now. The Word of God will move us in the direction of perfection. So the Bible says here, Timothy, listen, man, you've been taught the Bible since you were a little child. It's the Word of God that brought you to the point of salvation. Continue in that book. Stay in the Word. And if you will, if you'll stay in the Word, this divinely inspired Scripture, listen, if you will, it will profit you and it will perfect you. It will perfect you. It'll move you in the direction of perfection. Now you say, Pastor, but nobody can be perfect, but don't you want to move in that direction? You see, a lot of times when we say that, we are simply excusing our imperfections as though that we're not going to attempt to do anything about the areas of our life that aren't what they ought to be, because after all, nobody is perfect. But the Word of God moves us in the direction of perfection. I know you won't completely get there until you have a new body and you're at home with the Lord, but don't you want to be moving in that direction? This book is the instrument that God uses to perfect us, to grow us, and to mature us. And one of the areas that He particularly had in mind is revealed in the last phrase, so that we will be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that little phrase means this, so that you and I will be completely furnished or perfectly equipped for all the good works that God wants for us to do and that God has willed for us to do. Listen, we've got a huge task before us as believers and as a church. We've got a huge task before us. When we think about evangelism, we think about discipleship, we think about all that God has called us to do and be as a church. You say, Pastor, how are we going to get it done? This book is the book that equips us for all that God has willed for us and called for us to do. What a wonderful gift. this book, the Bible, Holy Scripture. When it comes to the gifts of God, God has given us, through the process of inspiration, He's given us His Holy Scripture. And what a gift it is. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word and Your truth, and I pray, Father, that You would do Your work in us. Pray for those, Father, who haven't been spending time in the Word, who haven't been listening, who haven't been reading, who haven't been studying, who haven't been teaching, who haven't been focused on Your Word. God, would You correct us today? God, I pray that You take our focus off of the temporary things of life and get it back on this permanent Word. God, I pray, Father, that You'll help those who are distracted this morning. God, that they'd become refocused on Your truth, on Your Word. That we would delight, Father, not in the material things around us, but in the blessed Word that is before us, the truth of it. Father, thank You for such a wonderful gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together.